Take your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, we'll read them responsively. I'll read the odd verses if you'll join out loud with me on the even verses. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. I'll read the odd verses if you'll join out loud with me on the even verses. The Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." And let's pray. God, we do thank you so much for this time you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity. And Lord, I don't want to pass this up. I don't want this to pass us. But Lord, help us to have our hearts open, not just our Bibles, but Lord, our minds, our hearts open, so that you would be able to fill. And Lord, teach us something. We thank you, Lord, for what you've already done today, and continue to guide and direct. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I really want your attention tonight. Yeah, we're going to use our Bibles a lot in a few minutes here, but I need you to listen to the first 3 or 4 minutes very carefully here. The older I get and the more I see people hurt and ruined by sin, the more amazed I am. What does the devil really have to offer us? And yet, I watch people ruin their lives regularly. Look at how many have chosen the devil and sin over God. Sin really has us humans blinded so much that we would choose the devil over God. I think Brother Steve and I were talking the other day. You know, the devil really believes his lie. You wonder how some of these bleeding heart liberals make it. Now listen to me. They make it because they really do believe their lies. Yes, sir. If the devil did not believe his own lie, he wouldn't fight so hard. He truly thinks he's greater than God. He truly thinks he has a chance. That boggles my brain. Now, you got to get this, and then we'll jump into it. The devil really doesn't have much to offer. If we look at the first sin in Genesis chapter 3, he offered the fruit of a tree over a sinless, painless, deathless life. He offered a piece of fruit versus a painless, deathless, sinless life. And we chose the piece of fruit. That wasn't a real good offer, was it? In Matthew chapter 4, to me, this is one of the neatest passages of the Bible, and in some ways silly. The devil offers Jesus bread. The devil offers Jesus safety. And then Jesus, or the devil, offers Jesus the kingdoms of the world. Now, listen to this. Do you realize that Jesus already had all of those things? He is the bread of life. He's the shelter in time of storm, and he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The devil had absolutely nothing to offer Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is nothing sinful about temptation. Yielding to this temptation is the sin. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So temptation can't be sin because Jesus was not a sinner. Let's face it. The devil has very little to offer, and its value is at best minimal. The devil can only offer you the temporary. There's only one thing the devil offers you that is forever: death. The only thing of lasting value that the devil offers is death. Boy, that's real good, isn't it? The cigarette may make you look cool or give you a surge of energy, but when your lungs clog up with tar and cancer and you suffocate to death, what did the devil really give you? The glass of alcohol may look good and make you feel like you're important, but you suck on that poison and the cancer and the organ-killing toxins in it and the mind-killing toxins in it will cause an early death. I said it this morning. The doctors are finally catching up with the Bible, finding out that most cancers are related to alcohol. Go figure. So what has the devil really offered you? Did you ever notice the devil has very little to offer? Few moments of pleasure for sin? Since the first two humans were deceived by the devil, none of us have learned. None of us have learned. I'm going to make a statement here, and then I'm going to clarify it, because the statement could lean towards what some would say is a bad doctrine. I'm not going that direction at all. But those of us who are saved have the ability to be not as duped by the devil. Now, everybody listen to this next part. We cannot reach a point to where we don't sin. You're going to sin every day. You never reach a point of not being a sinner because we are sinners. We have no righteousness of our own. But because we have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God as saved people, we don't have to be as deceived by the devil as the world is. And yet the average church and the average church member isn't a whole lot different than the world in some ways. Let me show you what I mean. I have 10 statements I'm going to give you tonight very quickly about this. Number one, the devil offers bondage. Jesus offers freedom. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 6. The devil offers bondage. That word bondage is like imprisonment, being handcuffed, being restricted. The devil does not give you freedom, he gives you bondage. Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Oh, be a slave to. Turn to Romans chapter 7, verse number 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Just like a slave would be sold. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Captivity. That means you've been captured. You've been imprisoned. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Look, God said the spirit of sin is the spirit of bondage. And I could go on and on and on and on. The devil offers you bondage. He does not offer you freedom. He calls bondage freedom, making you think that bondage is freedom, but it's not. But Jesus offers us liberty and freedom. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'm about to shout. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
Does that sound like you're in bondage? You people that believe the Bible, and I hear Christian school kids say this all the time, and people in the world, it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth does not limit you, sin limits you. The bondage of sin will limit you far more than the truths of the Word of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. That's not... Verse number 1. Stand fast in the what? Liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We have liberty. We have freedom in Christ. There is bondage in sin. You see, the world that's out there tonight, living it up in the nightclubs and drinking and smoking and pouring cancer into their body and clogging their lungs up and their veins up, they're living it up. No, they're dying it down. The pure life is the life that you live. Boy, that's a good statement. The devil offers bondage. Jesus offers freedom. Oh, Christianity, just a bunch of rules. Rules, 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 rules. Oh, you can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. You're looking at the wrong side of it. You're looking at it from the devil's eyes, not God's. Every time somebody says that to me, I want to slap them upside the head. Say why? Because they're talking just like the devil. The more separated from the world you are, the freer you are. You really are. So it shouldn't be hard for us to give up the things of the world. Ouch. Number two. So first of all, the devil offers bondage. Jesus offers freedom. Number two, the devil offers sickness. Jesus offers healing. Say, what do you mean the devil offers sickness? Turn to Psalm 38. Psalm 38, look at verse number 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, and a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Skip down to verse number 7. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. That's what the devil offers you with sin. Turn to Psalm 107 real quickly. Psalm 107, let's look at verse number 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. That word afflicted means given many diseases and having troubles with your physical body as well as your mental body. Someone that has handicaps, we say they're afflicted. God says sin afflicts us. Folks, listen to me. The stupid world crowd is the one that's afflicted. The Taylor Swift crowd is afflicted. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how a parent could let their children watch the performers of the world and say that's what you should be like. Running around like a bunch of prostitutes. I got to be careful. I wouldn't let my children, boys or girls, look at anything that they perform in. And yet, they could hang their posters in their rooms. They can listen to their music. Well, it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before that ever stayed in my house. Say why? Because I'm not going to let it afflict my kids. Not going to let it afflict my mind. The devil has nothing good to offer you. Isn't it amazing? Most of them can't stay married. Most of them don't even try. They just shack up from one to the other. But the Lord offers healing. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Look at verse number 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went their fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Wow. We could go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and go story after story after story and person after person after person after person after person that Jesus healed. And then there was times where it talks about the multitudes came. And there were so many that they couldn't even get to him, and they had to cut holes in the roof to lower somebody down just to get to him. Say why? Because Jesus offers healing, not the sickness of the world. Turn to Psalm 103. I love this verse. Verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in with me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy what? I guess that goes for COVID too, huh? God said he'd heal our diseases. Now everybody look at me. We're all sinners. We're all going to get sick. We're all going to die of something. But I wonder how many times God heals us faster than he heals the world. I was talking to somebody tonight. I think it was Jackie or somebody. Maybe it was Paula. And they were talking to somebody they know that's a nurse, and they told them what I did to my heel, and they can't believe it's healed as fast as it does, especially in a man my age, no comments. But people my age generally don't heal as fast as I heal right now. Healed my heel, amen? We had a healing. I was laughing about Matthew chapter 4, because the devil said Jesus could jump off and the angels would catch him. I didn't have any angels that caught me that day for sure. Yeah, that was demon. That's the demons. That's why I broke my heel. The demons out there pushing me off. But hang on for a second here. Can I tell you something? We have to understand something. He is the great physician. He'll heal us from our iniquities, our sins, our transgressions. He can heal you mentally. He can heal you emotionally. He can heal you physically. A lot of times he'll choose to use a doctor to do so. God heals three ways. Supernaturally, through doctors, or he takes you to heaven. Either way, you're healed. Everybody doing okay? I believe that. I believe God gave me a saved doctor. The unsaved one wouldn't look at it. Gave me a saved doctor who knew people were praying when he operated on me, because everybody in the operating room felt the prayers. And he said 99.9% of these operations don't go together like yours did. My wife's sitting in the room every time he has said that. He said, they sure don't heal this fast. Can I tell you something? God's mighty good. That's what Jesus offers. Go out and drink. Proverbs talks about going out and drinking. Then you act like you've been on a ship that's been in the sea, and you're tossed to and fro and tossing your cookies everywhere, and wake up and say, what happened to me? Where was I? What did I do? And I feel sick and I got a headache, and yet you'll go right back to it as a dog returns to his vomit. The devil really has a lot to offer us, doesn't he? Number three, the devil offers death. Jesus offers life. In the day thou eatest, thou shalt not surely die. Genesis 3:4. But Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. By the way, I'm sick and tired of everybody blaming God for death. It's the devil who kills people, not God. Well, we all come with an end date. Yeah, by the devil, not by God. Some hurry it along because of the way they live. When you hear the words, watch this, y'all, it's going to get shorter. The devil does nothing but offer death. I'm on a campaign because I'm tired of people getting mad at God because their loved ones die. They didn't die because of God. They died because of sin. They died because of the devil. We have diseases and sin and sickness because of sin and the devil, not because of God. God didn't sin. God didn't intend for it to be this way for man. But when we chose to sin, we chose what the devil offered over what God offered. We took a piece of fruit versus sinlessness. We took a piece of fruit instead of a life that had no sickness. We took a piece of fruit instead of a life that had no death attached. Do you know what the harshness of death is? This body was made to live forever. And as you watch somebody take their last breaths and it gets very difficult, it's because God made this body to live forever, and sin is fighting that. I've watched it hundreds and hundreds of times. It's amazing how far down this body can go before it gives up. Amen, Miss Loretta. And then Brother Jimbo comes back after a minute. Takes another couple breaths. And then they cry again. He starts to move. Are you done yet? Wait a second. What was that? That's this body fighting to live. God made it to live forever. The devil offered you something to cause it to die. Death is foreign to our body. Say, so how do you know that, preacher? Cut yourself, it starts healing. God made it to fix itself. God made it to where the blood would go to it, rush to it, seal it off, and begin to heal it. See, God made your body to live forever, not to die. Turn to John chapter 10. John John chapter 10, look at verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give life, not death. What does Jesus say in John chapter 14, verse number 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Guess what? Jesus is life. The opposite of Jesus is the devil, and the devil is death. Sure, the devil's got a lot to offer you, doesn't he? Death. John chapter 11, verse number 25. John chapter 11, verse number 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I don't know about you, but I like what Jesus offers a whole lot better than what the devil offers. Number next, the devil offers seasons. Jesus offers eternity. I love this one. The devil offers the temporary. Jesus offers you eternity. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 25. You young people ought to memorize this verse. Some of you adults ought to memorize this verse. Speaking of Moses, God says, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of what? Sin for a season. The devil's fun and the devil's pleasure only lasts for a little while. I don't care what sin you go into. You drink alcohol, it's good for a while, but you're going to wake up with a hangover and wish you didn't do it. You're going to wake up with somebody beside you you didn't know you laid down with. You're going to wake up with a disease you didn't know you had. I'd go on and on. You're going to beat family members with your fist in anger, not knowing you did it. You can suck on a cancer stick called a cigarette all you want, but it's going to clog your lungs and it's going to kill you early. And you're going to suffocate to death at a very tough death. You can get mad at me all you want, but guess what? I didn't say it. God did. You're listening to the devil about a 3-inch long piece of paper with dead weeds wrapped around in it. You light it on fire. If God wanted you to smoke, he'd have put a chimney on your head. We listen to the devil way too much. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse number 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders and the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, oh, that's the devil, and led him away and delivered unto Pontius Pilate and the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. This is speaking of Judas Iscariot. Judas was mortified over the fact that he sold Jesus. Went back to the people that gave him the money and they said, too bad, you accepted it. We don't care how you feel. We got what we wanted. And it was so bad, by the way, Judas was so close to salvation, his lips actually touched the blood that would save him. He placed a kiss of betrayal upon the cheek of Jesus, who was sweating blood. His lips touched the very blood that would have taken his sin away. And instead goes out and hangs himself and dies and goes to hell. Why? Because he listened to the devil. Well, what does Jesus offer us? Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, look at verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth them should not perish, not die, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Look at me, Jesus offers life, the devil offers death. Number next, the devil offers bitterness, Jesus offers joy. I don't have time to turn to all these. I want to, but we don't have time. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I thought I cut it down enough, but I didn't. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 31. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Wow, that's talking about grieving the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? By bitterness. Do you know what bitterness is? Unforgiven sin in your life. You concentrating on the wrong instead of the fix. Some of you have never gotten over something somebody said to you. Can I tell you something? You need to get right with God. Get over it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15. I'll read it to you as soon as I get there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled. I've watched bitterness destroy Christians faster than anything. I wish you knew how much bitterness destroys churches. I watch young people ruin their life because they get bitter. Mom and dad don't live everything at home that they live at church, and they see a double standard and they get angry and upset at God. No, don't get angry and upset at God. Just obey God. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. The devil offers bitterness. By the way, 1 Samuel 15 talks about people in bitterness. When Peter denied Jesus, he wept bitterly. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the next one? Oh, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in and joy comes in with the Holy Spirit. You go back up to the verse 17, talks about the lust of the flesh and flesh lusted against spirit. The works of the flesh are these, and it talks about many of these things that lead to bitterness. We don't have time to turn to Psalm 16:11. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10, but turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is based on the circumstances going on around you. Happenings. Happiness is determined by happenings. Somebody gave me black licorice Twizzlers. That's happiness. Joy is me having a good attitude when there's no black licorice. Joy has to have opposition or there's no joy. Joy comes when you have the right attitude while facing the battle. Joy is the right spirit when things aren't going right. When everything's going good, everybody can enjoy it. But when it's going bad and you enjoy it, that's what sets us apart. Boy, that's good stuff. Number six, the devil offers curses, God offers blessings. The devil offers curses, God offers blessings. Go to Genesis chapter 3. We know the story, but I want you to see something here. Isn't it amazing that, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt not surely die? Look at verse 14, chapter 3. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and the dust shalt thou eat the days of thy life. By the way, most people in our world today hate snakes. But they don't hate the serpent. You're afraid of the snake, but you're not afraid of what he told you to do. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Thou shalt bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. God had to curse the devil, and then he starts cursing the woman. Verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. I want you to notice something. God curses the earth also. The world said, we've got to have all natural. Well, everything that you go to the average health food store and half of it's weeds, which came from the devil. Everything we have, whatever came from the ground, is cursed. It's a fact. Everybody doing okay? That's why everything dies. We don't have time to turn to Galatians 3:10, but it talks again about the curse of sin and death. But Jesus offers blessings. Turn to Psalm 100. Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. We won't take time to turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 34. It's in here. Hang on. There we go. Look at verse number 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Look at chapter 33, verse number 5. Psalm 33, verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Folks, all we got to do is look around and see how good God is. The devil offers curses. Witchcraft, cursed. I'm going to make some statements here. I don't give a flip. False religions like Muslimism and their jihadism, which is nothing but cursing people who are anti-Muslim. How'd you like to have by the way, Jesus didn't tell us to go out and kill everybody that disagreed with Jesus. Amen. He said, take the gospel to them and try to get them saved, not try to go out and kill them all. Any religion based on that is not a religion that is right. Amen. Number 7, the devil makes you pay wages. Jesus offers an inheritance. For the wages of sin is death. I love Romans chapter 8. Turn with me quickly. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 16 with me. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Can I tell you something? I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Everything that's his is mine. And the devil wants to offer me something down here. Wants to offer me more money. You can take the money. I'll take what Jesus has. Number 8, the devil offers lies. Jesus offers truth. Turn to John chapter 8. Young people, listen to this next statement. John chapter 8. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who did he murder? Every human being. He will be tried in the court of heaven as being the murderer of every human life. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Every person is born, and your primary sin is to lie. Our first, you don't have to teach a child to lie. You have to teach them to tell the truth. That's why as adults we can lie to ourselves so well, because it's our primary sin. Bible says we come forth of the womb speaking lies. Boy, ain't that the truth at 2 a.m. when them things are squawking. They've been fed, they've been burped, they've been changed, they've been all that. There ain't nothing wrong with them, but you think they're dying. No, they just want attention. Romans 12:9 talks about the liar, the serpent, the devil. Revelation, I'm sorry. But Jesus offers truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. James 1:18 talks about the word of truth, which is the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself to prove unto God a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, which is Jesus Christ, because he is the word of God. You see, the devil offers lies. Young people, listen to me. Every lie the devil tells you has hooks in it. It does. I could go to adult, to adult, to adult, to adult, to adult, to adult in this room in their past before they were saved, or if they weren't right with God, that did things they wish they'd have never done because they listened to the devil. Guaranteed. And yet we listen to the devil over God. It doesn't make sense to me. Number 9, the devil offers darkness. Jesus offers light. Matthew 13:39-42, Matthew 22:13 talks about evil being darkness, the darkness of evil. Then John chapter 1, we were in John chapter 8, John chapter 1, verse number 7, Bible says this, the same came forth of a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L, just like capital W in word, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, speaking of John the Baptist, of Jesus, that was the true light which lighteth every man and cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the light. He is the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse number 12 talks about him saying, I am the light of the world. The devil offers darkness. By the way, that's why most places that are evil are dark. Bars and nightclubs and places of evil are dark. Brother Steve told me that. he said Peggy told him. But now hang on for a second. That's why video games talk about darkness, and many of their anything that is a dark creature generally is evil. Star Wars came out, Darth Vader. Yeah, he was all black. Witchcraft, black magic, darkness. I go down the list. Lastly, the devil offers hell. Jesus offers heaven. I'm not going to take time to turn to those scriptures, but let me finish by saying this. Why do we listen to the devil so much? The devil really doesn't have anything to offer us, does he? Then why do we listen to him so much? Maybe we ought to get in our Bibles and find out what God offers and start taking God up instead of the devil. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. The devil has nothing to offer. And yet we take the least thing because it's shiny. It's pretty on the outside, but it's full of dead men's bones.